Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
7 o'clock hour of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. Sam Masterson helping us out with our social media down here. Ben Boyd is our executive producer. Mike Anderson is back in our KMOX studios. More with Mike Claiborne coming up in a moment. And I do want to get to a conversation that we had a little bit earlier on Facebook Live. We will be Facebook Live-ing a lot from down here and a lot of the first segments of Sports Open Line. And the question came up when I stayed on to take a couple of questions during the first commercial break about Paul Goldschmidt and where he hits. So as we talk about Goldschmidt, which I imagine he might be included in our storylines, we'll get back to that. That's all coming your way. More with Claibs. Then Chris Kerber joins me at 7:30 before he's got Chili's Week in Hockey from 7 until 9. It's Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you from Jupiter, Florida. Our coverage from Cardinals spring training continues. In a moment, don't go anywhere. We're back after this on your home for St. Louis Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Sports Open Line continues from Jupiter, Florida. I'm Chris Raby alongside Mike Claiborne as we talk some baseball. Chris Kerber coming up at 7:30. Kerbs then as Chili's Week in Hockey from 8 until 10. Blues back in the ice tomorrow night at home against the New Jersey Devils. All right, running through what I had as the five storylines right now for me going into the spring with Mike Claiborne, getting his reaction to them, and then we'll see if there's anything maybe that I left out coming up at the end of this segment. Don't forget, we're going to be down here all spring, and we'll have Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day every Wednesday. Follow along on social media as well. Sam Masterson doing an awesome job. We'll have some fun stuff up there. All right, Claibs, two more for you. So we had, who's the wild card is number five? Mike Schilt's first camp. We had pitching. I think number two has got to be right field. And right now, you have, I think, three guys in Dexter Fowler, Jose Martinez, and Tyler O'Neill. You have Dex and Jose, I think, competing. Although I think that in a perfect world, they'd maybe like Dexter Fowler, the just about everyday right fielder. And perfect world means that he's healthy and right and has a good spring. Jose, I think, is a very valuable commodity that I and you and I said all winter, don't just give, like, it was almost like his name was lumped into trade talks, like, oh, well, they've got to trade him. Don't just give him away for nothing because he can hit and that's all he does. And then Tyler O'Neill, who, you know, I think they want to get a look at. And probably, if you ask me, if Jose Martinez and Dexter Fowler are both on this club, Tyler O'Neill is playing just about every day in Memphis. But I think that while Fowler and Martinez both had question marks around them for different reasons, perhaps this offseason, those three guys, and Fowler and Martinez in particular, are in the mix and under the microscope, and I think the second biggest story right now of the spring.
Well, you're right about right field, and I think the question is, A, how is Fowler going to be, obviously, but B, how long do you give him if he gets off to a slow start? I'm not sure, you know, with Martinez, I think he's got to play twice a week somewhere. Maybe he's a getaway day guy. Yeah, he plays on Thursday and Sunday.
Or against lefties?
Yeah. You know, you got to make sure he gets at bats to keep him sharp. with O'Neal, you're right. You know, you send him to the minors, and I'm sure he won't like it. But here's the deal. You can still get O'Neal out. Okay, O'Neal ran into a lot of fastballs and got caught guessing a couple of times on a couple of changeups that he hit. He's got to be more consistent in having better plate management. I think outfield-wise, defensively, he's got to learn how to take better angles, especially in some of the bigger ballparks. But he certainly can play. I think the other issue that you better be paying attention to is you've got a couple of guys in Lane Thomas and Adolis Garcia that are going to be knocking at the door. And we saw Garcia last year. I thought he had the best camp of anybody last season in spring training. So you're going to have to broaden that scope a little bit. And, again, as I said earlier, at-bats and on-the-field performances are going to weigh so much more heavily now because there just aren't enough at-bats to go around and not enough innings to go around for so many competitive situations. But, you know, everything I've heard about Dex has been positive. The question is, does he put too much pressure on himself? But I think the other thing is this. He's got a terrific relationship with Mike Schilt. He did not have one with Mike Matheny. And maybe that's something that we can take into account. And if you ever look at Dexter Fowler's career, wherever he was where he had a great relationship with the manager, he's a pretty good player. Yeah. When he was in Colorado, he had Jim Tracy and Don Baylor. Didn't go well in Houston. Obviously, Chicago, we know how he and Joe Maddon feel toward each other. So this situation is one that I think we have to pay close attention to, and I know that he's done all the things he needed to do for the offseason, so he just got to come out here and play now.
Yeah, what he did in the second half of 2017 was pretty impressive, and he played 48 games in the second half, a .288 batting average, .400 OBP, .488 slugging. Really, his 2017 as a whole, a .264 average, a .364 OBP, a .488 slugging. I mean, that 2017, Klebs, that's exactly where he's been his whole career. Except
how many home runs did he hit that?
Well, he slugged 68 points higher, but what he did in 2017, regardless of what the narrative is right now, and you would think he was the worst player in baseball the way people talk about him, and maybe he was just about last year, but his 2017 was a better year than his career average year.
If he has 2017, we're in great shape.
And he would be a solid right field, too.
Yeah. So I'm not,
especially with Harrison Bader next to him, which I also think Jose Martinez can be a solid right fielder. I mean,
that's his best position.
It's what he's played for his whole career.
In my opinion, I think he's got the best throwing arm of any of those guys out there.
And he wouldn't be trying to catch the ball at first base. So, listen, I think both of those guys have value. And if Fowler's hitting 7th or 8th and getting on base with a .360 on base percentage and playing solid right field, you could do a lot worse than that. If Jose Martinez is in the lineup, it's pretty darn good. So I think in those two guys, you've got pretty solid right field options and assuming health and pretty solid right field competition. All right, and then number one I think is easy. It's Paul Goldschmidt. It's the arrival of Paul Goldschmidt. It's the acquisition of a superstar MVP caliber player. It's putting him into the lineup that has desperately needed a player like that. It is, does he hit second behind Carpenter? Does he hit third? Does he hit fourth? The effect on the defense. You know, the effect of Matt Carpenter and Jose Martinez not playing first base. Just having him around, making the move in an offseason that's been so quiet, he, to me, is the story.
Yeah, I think he makes us better defensively, period. Cardinals haven't had a legitimate first baseman since Albert. All right.
When was the last spring coming off of an acquisition of this magnitude?
We haven't had it. I mean,
not an off-season acquisition,
yeah,
right? Because,
no.
I mean, was it Berkman? Was it everything else for the most part? Was it Beltran?
But
both of those guys were kind of great players, great guys, but at the tail end of their career.
Yeah.
And you knew it was a 1 or 2 year deal. And then,
yeah, I think this situation is just ideal. You touched on something that I think is interesting. two spot, three spot in the order. I think that, to me, that would be my storyline. And I think that there is no one answer, because I think this lineup gives Mike Shildt more flexibility than what we've seen in the past. I think the two spot's going to be very, very intriguing, because if you had a guy who could run the bases and steal bases, it'd even be better. But I think in this case...
Yeah, well, Paul Goldschmidt can.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know
if he's going to be green-lined all the time, but yeah, he can do that.
But I mean, but I just think overall, hitting behind Karp and guys that have to hit behind Goldschmidt, I just think there's a dynamic we just haven't seen in a while. And, you know, I'll tell you a guy who's going to get some looks up near the top. I think Colton Wong might have some swings at the top. He can do some things. If he swings the bat and goes the other way, when they pitch him away, he's going to be pretty tough to get out. So I think that there's just so much flexibility with this lineup. Just like you just mentioned, Dex hitting seventh. I mean, I don't know if Dex has ever hit seventh in his life, but that's a great spot to hit in. You know, maybe he's a two-hitter. I mean, there are just so many different combinations you can use. But going back to your original point, I think Goldschmidt just makes us a better team and defensively, for sure, and just his versatility offensively makes us a better team.
Yeah, Fowler's healthy and is getting that 360, 370 OBP. He'd be an awesome two-hitter. I think that's what everyone thought when they acquired him. You know, we talked about him and Carpenter at the top of the order, but if you have that kind of on-base percentage between Carpenter and then Fowler, and then you have Goldschmidt and Ozuna, 3-4, that's the potential to score a lot of runs and to score runs in different ways, not just rely on Matt Carpenter's solo home runs, you know?
No, but here's it's a good point you make, which means Matt Carpenter and some other guys have to be better base runners, okay? We can't sit on the three-run homer and wait for that. Guys are going to have to be able to score from first. Guys are going to have to be able to run the bases better. And how they do that, we're just going to have to wait and see, because I think we're going to be more aggressive running the bases. And if you're not part of it, then maybe you don't play.
All right, we've got plenty of Cardinals, obviously, throughout the spring. I've got Chris Kerber coming up in a couple of minutes. He's going to be hosting Chili's Week in Hockey from, I'm all messed up on my time, 8 until 10 St. Louis time. 8 until 10, Kerbs with Chili's Week in Hockey. How about this Blues run, man?
Incredible.
It mirrors in so many ways the Cardinals' August last year.
You know, and it's funny you say that, because I was talking to Mike Shildt about it, and he and Craig Berube are similar guys, low-key, but you know what? They make guys accountable. And being accountable doesn't mean you get in a guy's face and you're yelling and screaming at him. Making a guy accountable is maybe he's a healthy scratch. And you've seen how he's made some adjustments. He's talking to guys. They play with a lot more confidence. They trust each other better. And I think the most impressive thing aside from Bennington is how these guys back check and how defensively they're in position where they can turn it around and all of a sudden here they come the other way. I know Tarasenko's on a tear right now, but I'm more impressed with his defensive ability right now and the little things he's doing in his own end.
He made a play that I think essentially won the game for the Blues. It was the Lightning game in overtime. Everyone was gassed, all right? And it was about to be done, I thought. Everyone was gassed or go to a shootout. And he made a back check, I think, underneath the goal line and created a turnover and got the puck to Braden Schenn.
Yeah.
Game over. And you then go on to win that game. You beat Nashville twice over the weekend. That, to me, was like one of the biggest plays Vladdy's made all season.
Well, I think he did the same thing in the Florida game. I'm more impressed with his
he's diving to block shots.
You know what, Chris? It's one word. He's engaged. That's it. Because how many nights did we see him?
And
just
then the scoring comes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's just taking big loops, not really going hard. But now he's engaged and he's having fun and obviously he's scoring goals. But man, it's amazing when you come back and play defense. And you know, the great Gus Kyle used to always say, if you're in position defensively, you'll score offensively. You'll be in better position offensively, and I'm seeing that with him. And, you know, if they get Jaden Schwartz going, man, who knows what can happen. I don't think I've ever seen a guy who's so snake bit. But I think what else can you say? He's going to come around. I mean, he's too talented of a player. But I love what Berube's doing, man, and he's going to make it hard for the Blues to look elsewhere if he keeps this up.
And, yeah, coaching change, similar to the Cardinals. A opportunity for multiple young players, whether it be Binnington or, you know, guys who had been playing before Robert Thomas is healthy, and Oscar Sundquist, who's been
what a good skater,
unbelievable
he is.
All year.
Thomas is the best skater on the team. I mean, he's just got two steps, and he's in the clear.
So if you go just over a month ago, when they beat the Lightning, it was actually 1 month. But if you go back to January 5th, that was the Saturday game at Enterprise Center. They were coming off the huge win over the Capitals when they were up 2-1 against the Islanders in the third period. The Islanders scored like 11 seconds apart to take the lead. Then they scored again. Blues lost that game. That night, leaving the rink, Klaibs, they had the fewest points in the Western Conference.
They were embarrassed.
35. They had the second fewest points in all of the NHL. In the month plus since then, they are, 12-2-1, most wins and most points in the league. They've gone from the fewest points in the Western Conference to now only six teams have more points than them. They are in the first wild card spot, and they are 2 points behind Dallas with one fewer game for the next spot. It's unbelievable.
It's one of the most incredible runs.
You're 12 points behind Nashville with four games in hand for second place in the division.
They just, you know what?
It literally,
keep it simple. Just show up and play.
That's the equivalent of the Cardinals August, right? Yeah. 9-2-1 over your last 12,
right.
And to do it with back-to-backs and against the teams that they're beating, it's remarkable. And they're really fun to watch now. Pat Maroon went and got in that fight against McLeod after the hitter. Like, it's just,
you know,
it's all the things that we said were missing all year, and you were banging your head against the wall. But sometimes this is sports, right?
Yeah. Let's not get carried away with the fighting, because the Blues can't fight. All right?
I said that for you, though.
The Blues can't fight. They have found a way to avoid that. And have you seen a fight this year that somebody, a Blues player, just beat the tar out of somebody? Okay. Point made. And
actually, I have. Who? Robert Bortuzzo in practice against Zach Sanford.
That might have been the best fight of the year. You're right. And you know what? I mean, that's the way the game is.
He beat him.
But,
like,
you know, it's just a lot of wrestling. And you know what? I never played in the National Hockey League. And I know fighting, being a fighter, is the toughest job there is in sport. But I think we dilute what's going on by, hey, man, he really got him fired up. Well, it wasn't a fight. They just had their gloves off and they threw, but they didn't connect to the point where somebody just got his ass kicked. But I commend guys who want to do it, because there's a lot of them who look the other way.
I got a new idea. And for people that want to eliminate fighting from the game, this might do that. How about if you want to fight, you tell the referees like an old-timey duel, you challenge the other guy, and then in between periods, you go into the tunnel and you take all your stuff off, and you take your skates off, and you actually fight.
What are you, the XFL now?
I think that would eliminate fighting, and you'd actually get your fights.
Or make them wait on the parking lot when the game's over.
Yeah.
Right there. I mean, that's how it used to be out in Creed Corps.
Well, it's been, it's been just a great run. Curbs is coming up. And also, at the end of this hour, yesterday, the 30th anniversary of the great Dan Kelly's passing, we're going to play a montage of some of his great calls, and with Curbs on tonight from 6 to 8, and with the Blues on this run, and with us wrapping up our relationship right now with them at the end of this year, and with Cardinals kicking off, thought it would be great to hear from the great former voice of the Blues and so many others, Dan Kelly. We'll do that at the end of the hour. All right, Mike Claiborne with us. Klaibs, appreciate it, man.
See you tomorrow morning when you're going to play some catch tomorrow.
Hey, we'll find some exciting stuff
to
talk about over there.
You know what? It beats what we were doing 4 weeks ago.
Well,
look at it that way.
See, it really rubs in the fact that you've been down here for a month, that you say that. I guess it's been about 3 weeks. Beats what I was doing yesterday, because that's sitting at Lambert.
It's one day closer to when it's for real.
Watching some poor you know, baggage guy gets screamed at. All right, Matt, we'll see you in the morning.
You got it.
We will switch to more hockey talk and join Chris Kerber when we come back. He's going to give us a call before Chili's Week in Hockey. He's got that from 8 until 10 tonight. Chris Raby with you. It's the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line from Jupiter. Back in a moment on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You are the best baseball town in America, and there is no doubt about it.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Can we go back? This is a moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So
welcome back. Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues our first day or first evening in Jupiter, Florida, and getting ready for Chili's Week in Hockey. From 6 until 8, calling the big guns. We called in Chris Kerber. He's going to host the show tonight. I know an awesome show coming up that we'll talk about after just an incredible run for the Blues, and he joins us right now. Hello, Kerbs. What's going on, man? I know it's been busy. It's been crazy. It's been hectic, but it's been some damn good hockey.
It has been. It's been a lot of fun, and, you know, it's funny. You're getting ready for the hockey show tonight, and you realize, okay, things are good. You're happy. You see yourself in a playoff spot. You still have 28 games to go in the regular season. Which, I mean, if you think about it, it's just under a third of the season, you know, remaining here. So there's a ton of hockey to go. And just as quickly as you've climbed up and basically earned 12 spots since January 7th, it can quickly go the other way even faster. And you lose three in a row, you can find yourself 6 points out.
You know, Joey made that point the other night, and it was – well, I guess it was Saturday because I was listening after the game on Saturday on my way to a charity event. And he said, you know, what have we won now? Four in a row? Five in a row. At that time, it was five in a row. Now it's six in a row. Jeez, I didn't even realize that. But you're right, because even though you're coming home and taking on a New Jersey team that has been bad, and then you go take on Arizona and Colorado, that's how fast it happens. And, you know, you went from... after that Islanders game, January 5th, you had the fewest points in the West. You had the second fewest points in the entire NHL. And, you know, not only now have you climbed into the top wild card spot, but still that West and the middle of the West for the top wild card down is so bunched up. Only 8 points separate the Blues from the Ducks and Kings, who are in last.
Yeah, now what's going to happen here, which is going to make the climb a little bit harder, is the fact that you're going to start seeing a little bit more of the head-to-head play. For example, like you mentioned, you know, the Blues are going to go head-to-head with Arizona. So if you're Chicago and you're trying to get to where the Blues are in a wild card spot and leapfrog over Arizona, well, one of those two teams is going to get a win. They're going to get 2 points. Then right from there, the Blues are going to go to Colorado. And then right from there, the Blues are going to go to Minnesota. You know, so again, somebody's going to leapfrog. Or if you're the Dallas Stars, see, just ahead of the St. Louis Blues, you're looking at it and you're going to go, okay, one of those two teams is gaining points on us tonight, and if we don't win, they're going to be 2 points closer, you know? And so that's part of the scenario that's also going to start to play itself out here a little bit. But you are right from the standpoint that it is extremely tight in the West still, and I know it's not great to look and see, you know, some of the records that are there battling it in, but and it's something that we really haven't seen too much in the Western Conference since the new playoff format going all the way back to the 04-05 lockout started. The West has traditionally and typically been that much harder to make the playoffs from a point total standpoint than the East. Well, it's finally come around, and it looks like the East is a little more difficult this year, you know, than the West. But nonetheless, tight is tight, points is points, and I guess it's all ball bearings these days.
I think that, you know, even... love when you drop that quote in. Love a Fletch quote. I think that even going back to the start of the season, and as frustrating as it was, Curbs, while you never had the hot run, you never had the really cold run. And the last month has been phenomenal. But even before that, you go back to Thanksgiving and the games that you had, what, against Nashville after Thanksgiving, which I thought was one of the best games they've played all season, but then Winnipeg and Detroit. And you lose against Winnipeg at home, get thumped. You lose in Detroit the next Wednesday. But since Thanksgiving, the Blues have only lost back-to-back games in regulation twice. And that consistency, while we don't talk about it as much, as important as the winning consistently.
You couldn't be more right when it comes to that. If you look at the Blues' body of work over the course of this entire season, yes, you're right. Until this stretch of hockey, where they had only won three games in a row one time, and then that fourth game was an overtime loss. So they had only earned points in four straight games one time. The one thing that they did do was, like you said, they avoided the long losing streak. They'd only lost three games in a row in regulation, I think, twice all season. So
twice all year.
Go on a run.
Once under Yo, once under Berube,
Exactly, right? So they didn't go on a long, you know, four-game, five-game, six-game, seven-game losing streak, even if there's the odd overtime loss in there, to earn a point. And that's one of the things that helped keep them in it. Now, look, you also got some help. I mean, the bottom line is Minnesota's play drastically dipped. Colorado had won two games out of 10 in a stretch. The Dallas Stars dipped. Now, the Stars have responded, and they had gone on a five-game win streak. But again, it still gives you a heck of an idea of, you know, of the level of play. So the way I looked at it, and I talked earlier today, you know, on Mark Reardon's show about this. I said, look, you had to take advantage when the other teams were stumbling, and you did that. Now you've got it back to where you control your own destiny. You decide whether you are in or out. You don't need anybody else's help. You got the help you needed that got you to this point. Now it's back on you. And I think if you're the St. Louis Blues or if you're a Blues fan, that's all you could ask for. And it also plays into this. And the one thing that, you know, you've been consistent with, Chris, I have, Alex, Amy, you know, Joey, this season, when we've been talking about the Blues, we've kept saying, got to let some of this play out yet, guys. You weren't dead in the water yet. We never once said that the team was dead in the water. You know, we said, look at the games in hand. If you right this ship, you've got these games in hand. And the reason that was so evident is because the lack of games in hand last year bit the Blues. The other teams that had the games in hand caught up to the Blues when they stumbled. Well, this year the Blues have used those games in hand when others have stumbled, and that's what has sort of balanced things out a little bit. Here's another crazy talk scenario for you, right? You just beat the Nashville Predators two games in a row. You still got four games in hand on Nashville, plus another head-to-head game.
Yeah.
A potential 10-point swing, which puts you 2 points behind Nashville. Now, I know there's a lot of ifs and buts and candies and nuts in that scenario there, right? But even just simply the games in hand and head-to-head play, right, could put you within 1 point of them if you match their level of play the rest of the way. It's fascinating.
I mean, to go from the fewest points in the West to now only six teams in the West have more points than you in the entire conference is remarkable. Like, mathematically, it's almost hard to believe. And of the six teams that have more points than you, you have games in hand on all of them. And I think that while it's never just one guy, you point to Jordan Binnington, Curbs, and I refer to that stretch, and we talked about it last week, but today he was named the NHL's first star of the week. And the stretch where this all started, the, 11-3-1, and the 23 points you've picked up over the last 35 days or whatever, that started with his first career start, the win in Philadelphia over the Flyers.
It did. Now, look, you got to look at a goaltender in hockey the way NFL teams look at a quarterback in football, okay? You are going to go the way of your goaltender. I talked to Martin Brodeur earlier today. We're going to have that interview on the show tonight. And we were talking about just how you need goalies that and more than one to play, because it's just harder even in the East for goalies to play those 65, 66 or more games. But it is just that important. And look, the team play in front of Jake at the beginning of the year wasn't very good, but neither was Jake. Really, the whole team wasn't. So to be fair to everybody, there's no doubt that the play in front of Jordan Binnington has been better. If the Blues defended in front of their net in the first part of the year with Jake or no matter who is in goal, they'd have a lot more points than they'd have now. They have played better as well in front of Binnington. But that doesn't take an ounce away from what Jordan Binnington did. He came in and he got that road shutout. He didn't allow a goal. And then he allows just one. And he starts to get it on a bit of a roll, and then the confidence of the team grew with it. Then that belief comes in, and that's what would scare the heck out of a lot of teams around the National Hockey League, is when a veteran team or a team that looks like the Blues can look starts to play with some confidence. And make no mistake about it, it was Jordan Binnington that helped fuel that thing along, and he's been great. And to be 1 week to be the number two star and another week to be the number one star, I mean, good for him, bully for him, and I think it's fantastic.
So he's been an NHL Star of the Week for 50% of his career as a starting goaltender.
Now, that's some good analytics right there.
Those are the advanced numbers. It's great. And to give Jake credit, I thought Jake played well yesterday.
You know what? That was a prototypical, nasty game to be a backup goaltender. Okay?
Like if you just look at the score, you'd be like, all right, 5-4, second game, we'll get Binnington. But I thought he was pretty good.
Well, put this into perspective. So the Blues had outshot their opponents in 19 straight games, okay? And in the last, I think it was 23. Give or take one game here, okay? None of my notes are in front of me. But in the previous 23, they had only allowed a team to get to the 30-shot plateau three times, okay? And the other two totals were 31. So 31 or less.
Yeah.
Last night, they allowed 34, or yesterday afternoon, they allowed 34 in the second and third periods combined.
Yeah. 44 total, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So, but you're going to have games like that. And in the end, he was able to make one or two more saves than UC Saros. And you know what? That's all you needed. Alex Pietrangelo said it best after the game. He goes, look, we're finding ways to win games. And maybe they're getting a little puck luck, too. I mean, they didn't get a whole lot of puck love at the beginning of the year with some of these bounces. You know, there were goals that were hitting the post and going in. Well, Tampa hits two posts and they stay out. Vince Dunn hits the post and it goes in. You know, those are the kind of things. But what you tend to find in this game is you make your puck luck and it becomes off of effort. And the Blues' effort has been there resulting in this.
Who else you got coming up on the show tonight?
We're going to do two segments with Darren Pang tonight. We're going to talk about Jordan Binnington in the first hour. And we're going to open up the second hour with Darren talking about the fact that you've got four interim coaches in the NHL and throwing some goofy scenarios that could really just basically make the coaching situation in the NHL this summer look like a messed up Rubik's Cube. So we got that. We've got Martin Brodeur. Chris Zimmerman's going to update some stuff on the renovations. Some great perspective on actually the city of St. Louis and what he's learned in his 4.5 years here in town. So that's pretty neat. Kim Davis, who's an executive vice president with the National Hockey League that deals with social growth, diversity, and also legislative affairs, she's in town for a luncheon tomorrow. We talked to her. Chris, she gives a real interesting approach about how the National Hockey League is trying to reach different fans in all these different cities. And she was also doing some work with the Billie Jean King Foundation, helping that get launched. And she tells us about that. So some pretty fascinating stuff. And then, like I mentioned, of course, Martin Brodeur is going to tell the story about when he was had been retired for about a year and a half and almost played a game.
Yeah, that's awesome. And certainly, Curbs, yesterday was the 30th anniversary of Dan Kelly's passing, and we're going to play some awesome audio coming up in the next segment. I thought really fitting with, you know, you coming up with Chili's Week in Hockey and, you know, with us hopefully putting an exclamation mark and who knows, maybe a ring on the last year of this relationship with KMOX right now, and also having the Cardinals, you know, opening up camp, thought it would be apropos to hear some of the great Dan Kelly in our next segment and remember him.
So I'll share this with you. My dad tells me the story. He was driving back from Columbia to St. Louis. The highway got shut down. He had KMOX on. He was listening to a Blues game, and that was his
sounds like this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Could have been, but it was. And that was he listened to the whole game, and that was his introduction to hockey. Was through Dan Kelly.
Wow.
In 90 after during the 94 during the. It would have been, I guess, the 93-94 lockout that the NHL had, the strike that they had that year. KMOX did a 45-minute blues show, like just a history of the Blues. My dad recorded it on a tape, and he sent it to me. I had started working in the minor leagues that following season. And if ever I felt flat or like, just like I needed to get pumped up, I'd put that tape on because it had all those Dan Kelly highlights and the different highlights that were on it. And it's amazing when you listen to him how so efficiently with his words he could move the puck from one end to the other and keep it so clear. You know, but it was such a big part of it. And, yeah, it was the 30th anniversary of his passing. You know, John Kelly put out a terrific tweet about his dad and all. And such a huge part of Blues history. And they all set the bar, you know, frankly, for all of us coming behind. And so hopefully we do just our little part to keep that bar exactly where it should be.
Curbs, thanks, man. Have a great show tonight. And we will talk to you guys for Blues Hockey tomorrow.
Okay, enjoy it. Hey, get some sunscreen. Don't come back with too red a face there, bud.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, see ya.
As promised, we'll hear from the great Dan Kelly when we come back. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line in Jupiter, Florida. Chris Ramey at Cardinals spring training. Back in a moment on KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
Final segment of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line before Chili's Week in Hockey. And, as promised, the day after the 30th anniversary of his passing, the great Dan Kelly.
From the faceoff, the puck comes to center ice. Bob Plager, a shot, he scores! Bob Plager, a shot from center ice that hit the Detroit defense and changed direction. And Gaudy may have been the man that changed the direction of the puck. And the Blues go ahead 3-2.
Wilson out of his own zone. Wilson, left wing pass to Lepley. Lepley into the Kansas City zone. Stops back to Gassop at the point of drive. Right on. Heron kicked it out. Now Plante into the corner. Centers to Lepley. Lepley shoots Heron. The save. Loose puck. Plante a poke at it. The score! Pierre Plante has the hat trick. And the Blues lead 6-1.
We're ready to go with the opening faceoff here at the St. Louis Arena. Referee Brian Lewis drops the puck and the Bruins get it to the St. Louis blue line. Here's Gassop to Sanderson at center. He played it off the boards back into the Boston zone. Gilbert back to the net, lost it to LaRose, to Sanderson, he scores!
Sanderson set up by LaRose after only 10 seconds as they caught Gilbert off to one side of the net.
Back comes McMillan to Unger at center. Gary Unger into the Leafs zone, lets the slap shot go, he scores! Unger breaks the shutout and gets his 300th National Hockey League goal here.
Now Federko cleared it into the Buffalo zone. Sean Pell got it to the line. Aplek held it in. His shot is wide. And Fogelin has it for Buffalo. Tried to clear it out. Bob Plager held it in. His shot is high off the glass. Now Bourbonnais back for Aplek. Centers to Federko. Scores! Federko, the rookie, gets his second goal in this many games. Labatt holding it in. A shot and Millen the save. Zook behind the net. Sutter scores! Brian Sutter gets his 40th of the year. Zook grabs him the puck and the whole Blues bench empties to congratulate Brian Sutter on his 40th goal of the year.
And the North Stars come back to center. Here is Payne around Komodowski. In on goal. Liuk! Sprawling save to Rob Payne on a great play by the Blues goaltender. Schmier held it in. Back of the net, out in front to Payne. Another great save. Another shot. And Tim Young shot it wide of the open goal. Here's a shot from the point that goes off the Blues player, Zook, and up over the glass. And listen to this crowd for Mike Cleout, a standing ovation for two great saves on Payne.
North for St. Louis on left wing to Pedersen. Right wing pass to Babich. He breaks in. Babich in on goal, shoots, he scores! Babich gets his 50th of the year! Cuts the Montreal lead to 4-2. And Wayne Babich is the first Blues scorer in history to score 50 goals.
Now Zook wins the faceoff to Micheletti, over to Lapointe. Lapointe in across the line in the Pittsburgh zone. He tries to center one. Zook gets it back to the goal in front to Crombie, he scores!
Mike Crombie!
By number 17.
And the Blues again! And Joe Bowen scores again! On a centering pass from the corner. And the Blues come right back and score again, and it's the same man, the rookie up from Salt Lake City, Joe Mullen, and he, in the last 20 seconds, just may have won himself a job.
Here come the Blues again. Pedersen to Mullen, a shot, he scores!
Six for the Blues. And that's
Pedersen on this power play to Ramage. Ramage shoots. He scores! Rob Ramage! And Chico Resch throws his goal stick in disgust and throws his glove in disgust. And the Blues win in overtime. 6-5.
Thank you to Mike Claiborne and Chris Kerber, and a fantastic, fantastic tribute to the late, great Dan Kelly. Ben Boyd, our executive producer. Sam Masterson is here in Jupiter, Florida with us. Mike Anderson is back at our Camo X studios. And as always, as we kick off the spring, a huge thanks to Ann Carroll from the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network, Steve Moore, everyone that makes this thing possible. I'm Chris Raby. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Jupiter, Florida, on your home for the Cardinals and Blues, Camo X.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.